Hello, I'm Simon Devereaux, Director of Global Talent Development at Framestore, and a warm welcome back to the Framestore podcast, episode 41, part two. In part one on Monday, we had the pleasure of chatting with Derin Owodunni, Lab Support Engineer, and Sophie Thompson, Junior Creative Developer from the Labs team. Today, we're picking up from where we left off as we continue to hear about Sophie and Derin's respective roles in Labs, mentors, and some of the best careers advice we've had on the pod so far. So sit back, relax, and enjoy episode 41, part two of the Framestore podcast, our second lab special with Sophie and Derin. So my next question is about common myths. So it's one of my favorite questions, really. I say this before every question, but what is a common myth about your job, role, or field of expertise? Is there a common myth? I don't know. Derin, do you want to take this one?
This is a hard one.
It's tough, isn't it?
The one that came to mind for this question was, I think that it's a male, at least in my area of labs, and you know, the area I've been since joining Framestore, is that it's a male dominated field, and that maybe women don't necessarily thrive or progress in this particular career path.
Yeah, and it's a myth because it absolutely isn't, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of talented women working in technology at Framestore. You know, you've got Sophie here, I'm here, you know, we've got Semra, who's our QA tester, and we've had, you know, there's a number of women in the Framestore, you know, general technology teams as well, that I'm sure you know as well, who are thriving in this environment. So I'm sure it's not, you know, the same everywhere, but no, I think at least in this environment, I think there's really good opportunities and people are being recognized for the work that they are doing.
Yeah, I mean, from a pure diversity point of view, it is really refreshing, particularly. I mean, we've got a lot of female leaders at Framestore, as we know. And, you know, the episode before this one was our International Women's Day episode with all of our female studio leads.
Yeah.
But when it gets to kind of technology departments, typically, it's very male, very geeky, right? So there's a lot of female geeks out there as well, right?
There are,
Not calling them geeks, by the way. This is just very, very broad terminology I'm using. But it is refreshing, and you're right. There's a lot of female talent working in technical roles here at Framestore. It's a really good myth to kick things off. What about you, Sophie? What is something that people often get wrong? What's a common myth about your job?
All my friends think I'm a geek because they think, you know, I'm just sitting coding, which is like technical and strategic with a lot of maths. But actually, you know, yeah, you have this technical mind, but you need a lot of creative skills and creative thinking and the understanding of design principles, things like UX, graphic design, typography, all these things come into play for a junior creative developer or developer in general.
Yeah, that's a good point. And actually, you're right, because we touched on the intersection between creativity and tech. And I think a lot of the projects that we're talking about, right, that mean we're talking about the system and what you've been working on for years, Derin, and, you know, all of this, you know, we're talking about this love of tech and technology. But it is totally a myth, right? It's still a creative role. I mean, I always find when people talk about creativity, we often think of pure creativity, pure visionary stuff or ideas or art and drawing and painting. But, you know, how would you describe the creativity that takes place within labs? You know, going back to that intersection. And again, it's a bit of a tough question for me anyway. I don't think I could answer it. That's why I'm asking it. But how would you describe creativity through the lens, through the kind of context of working in the labs department?
Well, I think some of the content, for example, Simon is creating at the minute, and what we've done before is a lot of our pieces are experiential, and so it's how can we show, you know, these, say, stocks in a more dynamic and creative way. So our experiential stuff, I think, is the answer to that.
Yeah, because I imagine there's a lot of brainstorming and ideation happening in your role, Sophie. Is that fair to say? And you're involved and privy to those conversations?
Yes, like me and Justin have had a few conversations recently about what could we bring to our own digital signage within Frame Store, and how could we make that more exciting for everyone coming in to see us? So, yeah.
Cool. No, thank you, Sophie. And Darren, again, similar question around creativity, because you're working on the CMS and it's more on the engineering side. So how does creativity manifest itself working in more of an engineering kind of slanted role?
I think it comes in for me in terms of problem solving.
Yeah.
So I think by nature, I'd say I'm a stickler for the rules. I like to do things by the book. If there's a rule book, I will follow it. And, you know, from one to, you know, to 100.
Yeah.
And just make sure I go step by step. And I think one of the biggest things I've learned, I work very closely with Robin Carlyle and Johnny Dixon, mm-hmm. Who run the department. And yes. One of the things I've learned most from them is that sometimes, you know, there isn't only one way to do something.
Yeah.
And just because, you know, the rule book says do it this way, it doesn't yeah. mean that you can't, you know, like you said, those non-linear paths sometimes get you the best results. And I think yeah. for me, that's where I'm able to bring in some more of that creativity and being able to think outside the box a bit more and
cool.
challenge myself to see things from a different perspective and think, you know, we have this problem, you know, everything we know isn't working. What else can we try, you know? Just try and be a bit more dynamic and flexible in terms of how you tackle a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like, I know we keep talking about pirate code because I mean, that's Johnny and Jocelyn's fault because there was a lot of nautical themes that came out of that episode, but it is the kind of Be More Pirate book, isn't it? There's a whole book about it around breaking the rules and changing things up. And
exactly.
I'm glad you've used the term problem solving because creativity is about problem solving, isn't it? It's trying to find a different way of doing something, achieving this, achieving that, right? There's this roadblock. How do we get around that? And that absolutely can manifest itself in lots of different ways, whether it be a very technical role, engineering focused role, or your, like we said, Sophie, your brainstorming ideas around immersive projects. It's all part of the same journey, you know? So I think I'm saying journey a lot on this podcast. It's all about the journey, but it is. So thank you for leaning into that question. And I keep asking you all these unfair, unscripted questions because I send out the kind of the 13 set questions, but I do throw in these random curveballs and you're both doing a solid job answering them. So my next question is, and we may have touched on some of these already, but I want to get into kind of lessons learned and perhaps the most important lesson you've learned over your career so far. So I'll give you a moment to think that through. I'm going to maybe stay with Darren on this one. You know, what's the most important lesson you've learned to date?
I would say the fact that skills and talent only get you so far.
Yeah.
I think going back to what we said before about, you know, the being able to build relationships with people yeah. and being able to develop those interpersonal skills and the confidence and, you know, knowing what it takes to network and to be able to get to know people and, you know, have people know you as well, I found is just as important as trying to build the technical skills, trying to build those creative skills.
Yeah.
As we said, you know, I've learned so much from the people that I've met and I've had opportunities from those people. And I think without being able to build those relationships with them and maintain them, I don't think that I'd be in the same place as I am now. So I think being open to, you know, I know that not everyone, especially in a more technical role, is very, you know, people oriented.
Yeah.
And sometimes you prefer to keep away from that side of things. But I think it really does go a long way if you are willing to work yeah. on those skills.
It is such a craft, isn't it? And again, I've been guilty of talking about this a lot on previous episodes, but and I talk about it on the presentation skills and personal impact workshop I run as well, about, you know, impact, human skills. It's the same level of mastery and craft as learning code or learning a piece of software or a technical or production skill set.
Yeah,
right. And it's really, I'm glad you've mentioned that because it's something I'm really interested in talking about. And you know, you mentioned these interpersonal skills, Darren. What, you know, if we were kind of to create our own curriculum here on this podcast, what would be the top maybe two or three interpersonal skills that you have harnessed in your career to date? You know, if you kind of go back in time to where you were when you first got the gig to where you are now, you know, what would be on the Darren curriculum?
Three.
Let's go three. I mean, okay. I'll just pluck that from the ether. You can just go with one if you want, but I'm just trying to rinse you for your knowledge, Darren.
I think one would be learning to ask for help. That was a big thing for me because I used to think that asking for help meant that I'd failed in some way, or that I was indicating to other people that I was maybe a bit incompetent or I didn't know what I was doing. But I found that, you know, and again, learning from the people around me that not everyone knows everything. And I think some of the most successful people are the ones who are able to put their hands up and say, I really don't know what I'm doing. I just figure things out as I go along. And so I think that's really helped me immensely, being able to, you know, go to people for help and just say, I know, you know, I'm responsible for this, but I really don't know where to start. And can you help me? And I think you'll find that most of the time people are willing to support you. Yeah, asking for help. Number two would be, I think, not taking things too personally.
Like that.
It's probably a big one. I think just because of, you know, especially when you're working in such a big industry for such, you know, a company with such a global footprint, it's, you meet so many different types of people in the course of, you know, just day to day or throughout your role. And like we said before, even dealing with clients. And, you know, I think it's easy sometimes to take offense or, you know, think that something's targeted at you when it's not. And I think being able to put those things aside and just say, okay, I'm just going to focus on what needs to be done. I'm going to get this over and done with and just move on from this. I think that's another big thing. And then number three would be, I think, showing appreciation for people. Being able to acknowledge the people who are there to support you and being able to make the people around you feel good about themselves as well. And just building, I think, a positive environment around you, because work does get stressful and it can get stressful. And I think... Yeah, just making sure that you have those solid relationships with people around you. It really does go a long way, because I think you get back what you put out, right? And when you're good to people, people will be good to you as well.
I do totally believe that. The idea of kind of positivity attracts positivity. And I think that piece around appreciating those around you. I mean, you mentioned earlier about recognizing when your idea isn't the best one in the room is such a massive light bulb moment for some people, because people go through the whole career and they're just the egomaniacs, and you know, I'm, you know, this walking embodiment of creativity and ideas, and there's something really cool in demonstrating kind of vulnerability and going, you know what, I don't know how to do that. And some of the best leaders I've worked with have been the people that say, look, I hire all of you because I can't do what you do. You know, and I think it's this culmination of all these skill sets in a team, not having this one kind of, I know, Yoda figure who just knows everything. So I think there's some really good advice in there. Thank you, Darren. I might come back to this subject of interpersonal skills because it's something I love talking about. But Sophie, I want to hear from you around your most important lesson that you've learned over your careers. And if you answer interpersonal skills, you are also going to get to do a top three, which I might ask you anyway. So there might not be an escape, but what's your important lesson that you've learned to date, Sophie?
I think, yeah, that hard work pays off, and that, you know, I can't know everything there is to know all at once, and to kind of, I've learned a lot to take my time and actually ask the questions, sit and learn. And some days I'll have setbacks and think I can't do this, and other days I'll feel like I've got it in the bag. And, you know, it's those ups and downs that I think I've learned. And yeah, everything else that Darren said, I think she answered that one perfectly.
Yeah. I mean, what you've both touched on, and this is really interesting, this popped into my head actually, because I've been in some various podcasts and conversations around entry-level roles and taking opportunities, and pre-COVID, and I hate talking about the old times and the new times, but you've both kind of come up almost post-pandemic, right? So this is your normal. Without sounding patronizing, I'm not Gen Xer, like I'm so far away from your generation. And a lot of critique that industry gets now is it's really hard to get a break because, you know, we don't have a running program in London, for example, anymore. You're one of the last of the Mohicans, Sophie, as a runner at Framestore. And a lot of people say, well, you know, it's harder to get opportunities because you can't just walk into a suite and find an artist or a producer or somebody to look over their shoulder. It's a little bit more, it takes a bit more thought and planning. But actually, what I'm hearing through our conversation is you both, and again, you know, I mentioned at the start, but you've both taken opportunities, you've both asked questions, you've both secured mentors. It's not hindered your career. I don't know, it's just an observation that's popped into my head that actually all the conversations we're having now are really positive about your career, right? Both of you, you're both doing your thing, and whether it's pre or post COVID doesn't really matter. Is that a fair observation that I'm making, or am I just talking a load of rubbish?
I think that's a fair observation. You're just asking about, you know, whether our career path post COVID, or having most of our career development take place kind of during COVID and post COVID, if that's had any negative impact.
Yeah, I think so. That's a much better question. I probably should have articulated it that way, but yeah, has it hindered you in any way? Yeah.
I don't think it has. I think it's kind of pushed me a lot further than I would have probably pre-COVID. I think pre-COVID, where I was in the systems team, things were very, you know, a lot more laid back, very, you know, easygoing. I think I might have been on a different journey if, you know, if the pandemic had never happened. But during that time, my team was largely responsible for getting everyone out of the office, getting all the equipment sent out, you know, supporting everyone working from home. And that was a huge learning curve, which wouldn't have happened, you know, without that, without the pandemic, essentially. So it really forced me to do a lot of work and to grow a lot quicker than I would have otherwise, which isn't necessarily better or worse. I think it's just what's happened. That was the time that I ran into Johnny, you know, when he would be in the building doing, you know, tinkering around with lab stuff, and I was supporting them while their team were all working remotely. So I think, a lot of positive experiences did come out of that for me personally, I think.
Cool. Thank you, Darren. What's your take on that, Sophie?
Well, I had joined, obviously, Framestore after COVID and everything, but during COVID, I was in Korea with a lockdown there. Borders were closed. And so I don't know, would it have been different as a runner? Yeah, definitely. You know, clients weren't coming in, and I feel like the building was definitely a lot busier and before than it was maybe when I was there. So maybe I had more time to sit and do my studies when I was a runner, you know, coming in after my running shift had finished to labs. I don't know, would I have had that opportunity pre? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess we'll never know, right? But it's just so interesting just to kind of, I don't know, ask the question, because I guess, yeah, it's your frame of reference, isn't it? I mean, it's a weirdly mine, because I've only really been at Framestore post-pandemic, so I don't know what the building was like before. You know, I used to come in and visit occasionally with my Access VFX hat on, but really, again, I'm not saying I'm kind of your level age-wise, because I am an old sage man now. I've got a few years left and I'll be out of the game.
You're not.
Right?
You're not at all.
Oh, that's what I'm fishing for. Always fishing for the compliments, me. But yeah, it's really interesting. And again, goes back to what you said, Sophie, about learning that hard work does pay off. And regardless of what the situation is and the current climate, whether it's pre-post, whatever, you're getting it done. And you're asking the questions and you're putting in the graft, and it's absolutely paying off. So yeah, some really, really great answers there. It would be unfair of me to put you on the spot, Sophie, to ask you for your top three interpersonal skills, but I might do it anyway. I'm feeling, no, I put the pressure on Darren. So I'm thinking, since you've been at Framestore, Sophie, actually, I'm going to say your professional career. What are the three interpersonal skills, your personal curriculum that you would design, that you've learned? And you can't say the same as Darren. So we've got ask for help, don't take things personally, and appreciate the people around you. Sophie, what would you give me as a top three?
Can I have a think about it? Give me 2 minutes.
You can have a think about it. This is a safe space, but I will come back to it. Okay, right. So we're getting into the MVP question, most valuable players, your most important professional mentors. So Darren, who has been your most important professional mentor? Or you can go for micro mentors, which we often do on the podcast. You don't just have to pick one. So who do you want to shout out as those people that have helped you along the way?
I think there's way too many.
Top three. We're doing another top three. There's a theme developing.
That's too hard. I feel like if I miss someone out, then it'll be offensive to them.
Okay, you can go. You can just say everyone if you want.
Okay, everyone. everyone that I speak to every day at Framestore. That sounds so cheesy, doesn't it?
It is quite cheesy. We've already asked that question earlier, really.
Okay. Most important professional mentors. I can't pick. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Okay. It's fine. You reserve the right, Darren. What about you, Sophie? Most important professional mentors.
Well, I can answer that easily. I think one, my most important professional mentors is definitely Simon Loy of the creative development team in Labs. He's really, really been so patient with me. Obviously, I've come from a place of no prior experience of coding, and so I've really had to learn from nothing, and he's put all the time and effort into me, and I've really appreciated it, obviously, because I wouldn't be with Labs as a creative developer without him. And so, yeah, I think definitely Simon. Shout out to Simon if he's listening. Thanks.
We'll make him listen.
Yeah,
to well.
Also, I think Jocelyn as well. He's been very helpful with me in terms of all of our client meetings and teaching me his ways of dealing with clients. And we used to sit on Friday nights, we'd be working till like 9 or 10 sometimes at night, and you know, obviously that's kind of, I'm allowed to swear.
You can swear if you want, we can bleep it out.
I was gonna say but because of him, you know, we had good crack. He made it fun. And so yeah, those two people are definitely standout people for me.
Yeah, no, I can imagine you learn a lot from Jocelyn. I'll bump into Simon occasionally, but yeah, Jocelyn seems to be a fountain of knowledge. So a great shout. Darren, this is your last chance to shout out any mentors, these amazing mentors out there. That we go, why didn't she shout me out? I can't believe it.
Can I just name drop people?
Just do some names. You don't have to do it in order. You can just name, just do a name drop.
Okay. Because I feel like I have to say Jocelyn as well.
Yeah.
Like you said, Jocelyn, I think Jocelyn's one of those people who just, he naturally is good at, you know, just supporting you and giving you that nudge and sharing knowledge as well. I have to say Johnny and Robin as well. I've learned a huge amount from both of them, and I think it's really helped with my development. You know, the feedback that I get from them, the way that I work with them, the way that I see them working with other people, and I get to learn from them every single day, I think, maybe without them always realizing. I have to say also Rishi and Daffa from Systems. Oh, cool. They were my first managers at Framestore. And, you know, I don't think I wouldn't be here for sure without either of them. So I definitely have to shout both of them out. And, you know, everyone else.
Everyone else.
And you. And Amy Smith as well, I have to say, has been really, really supportive. So I have to shout her out as well.
Awesome. Good roll call. Thank you, Darren. Sophie, did you want to do your top three interpersonal skills? Or am I being wildly unfair asking you to do that live on the podcast?
Yeah, I think, I mean, for me, listening has been a big one. Definitely ask for help. That's one of my ones as well.
You can have that.
Because that's something actually that I kind of struggled with when I first started. I was scared to ask, how do I do this, or ask for help, because I was, I don't know, either other people are too busy, you know, I don't want to bother them, or I don't want to come across I'm incapable when I am, but that's really not the case. And yeah, just collaboration.
Love that.
With the team, I think, is really important.
This is a great list. Thanks for doing that, Sophie. Honestly, I've got six really good points. One is kind of ask for help, which is kind of the collective whole that you both agree on. And I like what you said there about kind of the confidence piece, where typically we don't, you know, when you get offered a role or you get an opportunity, you almost don't want to, and whatever level you're at, I mean, I've struggled with it my whole career, is, you know, you get offered a job, it's like, I'm gonna, you know, asking a question that exposes your weakness, that you don't know something, is quite a big deal to do. And, you know, for you to have recognized that in the kind of, you know, the first few years of your career, I think, is huge, and will land you in ridiculously good stead for the future, I think, because again, it's an amazing part of the toolkit, and not enough people do it. I'm speaking for a whole like globe of people, but not enough people do. So some great answers there, thank you, and thank you for all of your shout outs, all right and proper. So what, again, one of my favorite questions, this is the underrated tool question. What underrated tool or tools are indispensable for your job? So not a rated tool, okay? There's going to be a lot of rated tools, but what is one that's underrated? And maybe Sophie, do you want to start us off?
Well, I really struggled with this question when I was thinking about it, but
no, it's a funny one.
I have right, I'll show you it here because we're on camera, but it's my vertical mouse.
Oh, a vertical mouse.
So, you know, when you use a mouse every day, you get like, is it called carpal tunnel when you get that pain from your finger because all the way up to your elbow because you're
constantly, it's like a repetitive strain thing.
Your arm is twisted. This is my underrated tool. This has saved me.
Word. What is that? A strange technique.
Because your arm isn't twisted then when you're.
Wow.
I know that I've took that in a literal sense, but
no, but that's a great answer to the question. That's a great answer to the question. A vertical mouse. Oh, I need to get me one of those. I've got a proper old school one back at the home office. It's a nightmare. But yeah, okay. I like that. And has your repetitive strain dissipated since you've been using it?
Yeah, it has actually. It's got so much better. I don't get pain anymore.
Amazing.
So it's perfect. But all my friends, when they come to my house, they're like, what is that?
This will be interesting to see how many people listen to the podcast, because if systems get loads of requests for vertical mouses, then we'll know who actually listens to the podcast. So yeah, assuming we've inspired people to get a vertical mouse. So yeah, great answer. Thank you, Sophie. What about you, Darren? What's a underrated tool that you can't get through the day without to get the job done?
I would say probably some kind of note-taking tool, a notes app. I use Google Keep on my phone or having a notebook and a pen with me, mainly because, you know, things happen so quickly sometimes. People will say something, people will give you some piece of information that you need to remember later, and my memory is not that great. So I'm always writing things down, always taking notes so I can go back and refer to them later. So it's handy having those.
What's Google Keep? I don't ever use Google Keep.
It's just this app, and it has like these post-it type notes.
Okay.
And then it just stacks them all, so you can just go through and you can scroll through and see all the notes. And it's really handy just for taking really quick notes when you need to. And they're all easily visible.
Oh, I might look into that. And again, we're not sponsored by Google.
I might get that myself.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out. Again, I always feel like we're pushing out all of these apps on the podcast, but we get no financial incentive to do so. So let's get some sponsors if Google are listening. All the big cheeses. Google Keep. Never heard of that. I thought I knew everything about Google Suite. But yeah, Google Keep.
It's a really good one. I think because we use Google at Framestore.
Yeah, of course.
It's kind of built into the
whole
Google Suite.
Whole grid.
Yeah, but you can have it on your phone too, which is handy.
Okay, well, there you go. I'm downloading that for the journey. That's my commute home sorted. Brilliant. Excellent. Good. I like it. Two very good underrated tools for sure. So we're getting into kind of the final kind of few questions of the podcast now. And this is where we cater to the people trying to get into industry, whether it be our external audience, there's people who listen to the podcast who don't work at Framestore, or there are people kind of carving out their careers within the studio. Now, what's one piece of advice that you'd give to someone starting out in your field? Perhaps somebody's really interested in working in the labs department. What's a piece of advice? What's one golden nugget that you would offer them? Darren, perhaps you can kick us off.
Is this just to someone wanting to work in labs?
Well, yeah, I mean, technically it probably should be, but perhaps we could divvy that up into maybe two pieces of advice. It could be one where it's, I'm giving you extra work now. It could be a piece of advice that for anybody trying to get into industry, because I think that's really interesting. And then if somebody specifically wants to work in labs, what would be advice you would give to them too? So there you go, two pieces of advice.
Okay.
Just making up as I go along over here.
The first one, I think wanting to get into the industry, I would say, at least something that I think I learned along the way, was don't hold on to things so much. And what I mean by that is, I think I had this idea of what my career would look like, and I had everything planned out, and I was saying, you know, this is where I'm going to be and this is how I'm going to do things, and my career trajectory has gone completely left. You know, I never predicted that I'd be working in labs or that I'd be working in tech or, you know, anything that I'm doing right now. So I think me being able to sometimes let go of the things that I think I want, and being able to, as we've been saying throughout this whole discussion, being able to recognize opportunities that come up and being able to take those, I think, you know, opens you up to learning a bit more about yourself in ways that you probably wouldn't get to if you kind of pigeonhole yourself and you think, you know, I'm just going to focus on this thing. So I think being open to opportunities, even if they don't exactly, you know, align with what you think you want, sometimes you learn a lot and you can always, you know, step away, or you might find that it opens up other doors or leads you down other paths that you didn't really consider before.
I love that. It's like classic trust the process, isn't it? Just
Exactly.
Go with it. And again, I've just watched Past Lives, the film Past Lives, where they actually, funny enough, a link to Korea.
I've wanted to watch that, you know.
Is it Eunhye, the layers of Eunhye, and all these kind of layers of fortitude and these little moments, all these moments that take you on different routes and almost sliding doors moments. It's really cool, and just going with the flow a bit and not being so rigid and I will be in this role and these are the steps I'm going to take and this is how my life's going to happen, because in reality nothing maps out the way you think it's going to, right? So I think that's
exactly
really good advice in there. Well, I'll tell you what, Darren, keep the labs advice till after Sophie's had a go. So I'll give you a moment because I threw that one on you. So Sophie, your question is, again, what's one piece of advice you give to somebody starting out in the industry? So what would be a great golden nugget there?
Well, when I was starting out, obviously, as I've mentioned before, one of the things that made me stand out was that I had done a lot of creative things in my own time, my own personal projects. And through that, obviously, you learn a lot from, because you're starting projects from the ground up. Maybe you work with friends or you have certain clients or, you know, people that you're working for, and they lead you into some unknown experiment that can come in handy in your job. And I think it's just saying yes to doing as much of that kind of thing as possible. That would be my piece of advice.
It's being wired that way, I think, isn't it? Just saying yes, taking the opportunities,
even
if it feels like it's out of your comfort zone or a bit uber challenging, just go for it. A bit like those early client meetings you mentioned earlier, just jump in. And
I mean, like, I feel like I'm out of my comfort zone every single day, but that's a good thing, I guess.
Best place to exist, right? Just, constantly out of your comfort zone. I love it. Thank you, Sophie. So, Darren, advice you'd give to somebody who wants to forge a career in the labs department, what would you offer up?
I think I have a theme with my answers. I think because of the way the department works, we are a small team, and, you know, sometimes things happen very quickly. And you have to be willing, I think, to step up when needed and to be able to support the people around you. Sophie touched on it very early in the discussion, but, you know, being able to be flexible with your responsibilities is definitely a skill that you need. You know, it's not really the type of department where you can say, you know, this is my job, I'm just going to stick to exactly what, you know, was laid out for me to do. You have to be able to support the people around you and step into other roles and learn from other people as and when needed, because again, everyone will do the same for you. So I think we all just have to be able to support each other by being as flexible as possible and wearing all these different hats.
So not just being a kind of, you know, just this is my job description. So, you know, I'm not paid to do this. What are you talking about? You know, you've got to kind of lean into these.
Exactly.
And again, that's where the opportunities come from, isn't it? Right.
And you learn so much as well that way, I think, you know, no matter what you want to do, I feel like you can always take something away that's going to apply somewhere else at some point. And you know, you might think it's irrelevant now, but I think, again, as we said before, you know, that whole thing of trust the process, you know, you pick up all these different skills and you never know where they'll take you. So definitely taking on, you know, sometimes things outside of your scope is
you're
important.
Always learning, aren't you?
I think if you look at anyone within labs, everyone is doing something a little bit different to their actual job, right? Like, we're not all
You're not stuck in your bubbles. That's great. Thank you, Darren. How about you then, Sophie? What would be advice you'd give to somebody who wants to work in on the pirate ship?
Well, I just second Darren's answer, I think.
Just what she said.
Exactly.
Nice.
She says it better than me.
All right. Okay. Well, let's keep this train moving. So we're going to get into our next few questions. So this is a good one. This is, again, one of my faves, which is a question you wish I'd asked you. and how would you have answered? So I'll stay with you for this one, Sophie. You know, what's one question that I've not covered? What was this something you're dying to talk about and I've just not asked the question?
I think maybe, yeah, what are my goals long term?
Good one. Tell me more.
I guess I'm very new still in what I'm doing in my career. And so, you know, 10 years down the line, I guess, what do I see myself, or where do I see myself? And I think if before Labs, it was never to do web development or anything like that. And I think now that, you know, I've learned this code, I think these skills that I'm learning are so valuable that in terms of, you know, in the industry at the minute, I think, yeah, I would like to be a web developer, like maybe building websites or, responsive websites.
Yeah, so I think what you said there is interesting in that what the future holds for you. Actually, you know, you've not been asked, where do you see yourself in 10 years' time? If that's such a thing, can we predict that far ahead in the ever-changing industry we're in, right?
Yeah, I think it's definitely changed from now, working in Labs to... from before.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Sophie. What about you, Darren? What's one question you wish I'd asked you?
Maybe around things happening in Framestore outside of, you know, our roles, I guess.
Okay.
Things that we're getting involved in, or that maybe that we'd like to be involved in.
Okay. Again, tell me more.
I think I'm learning a lot more about, you know, things that go on behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and, you know, outside of our usual roles. And I think that was opened by getting involved with some of the Access VFX stuff,
yeah.
and the EDI workshops that have been happening recently as well. I didn't realize that I had an interest in those, you know, areas of life. And having taken those opportunities, it's something that I see that Framestore is working on a lot behind the scenes, and, you know, is putting out a lot of opportunities and information about these different aspects. And it's been really exciting to learn about and to be able to meet other people in these spaces as well. Being able to talk to people outside of the company and see what other people's experiences are, seeing, you know, the school kids coming in and having their presentations and the mentorships and the internship programs as well. I think all of those things have been really inspiring to see.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, like we said before, I've started saying yes to those kinds of things because I'm seeing a lot more of the value now, and I'm seeing how, you know, how hard everyone's working to put these things into practice.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, the longer you're in industry, there's almost a responsibility to give back and to start getting involved in these kind of initiatives, whether it's talking to schools or being involved in kind of panel discussions or kind of role modeling, particularly as kind of, you know, two women in STEM ultimately, right? You're kind of in kind of technical roles, and it can be really inspiring for people. And the more you're in industry, the more that you see the value in doing it, because you see those light bulb moments happen for people that you would have had years and years ago, and somebody came to your college or university, or, you know, or a mentor said, hey, have you thought about this? Like, oh my god, no. You know, so again, it's, you get to do that now, right?
Exactly.
Which is amazing. Yeah, good to hear. Both very good responses. Now we're getting into the last kind of fun question, so we can chill a little bit now. I've been asking you lots of probing, kind of hard-hitting questions here. We're going to get into a bit more whimsical questions before we wrap up this episode. And this is the one where we ask you, who would you like to hear on the podcast and why? So who would you like to hear go through the same experience that you've both been through? And thankfully, Jocelyn and Johnny have already done it, so you don't get to put them in the hot seat. But who else would you want to see in the Daily's hot seat?
For me, I would like to see actually one of... your good friends, Darren, as well, Romina Basant.
That was my
one. Your one too?
No.
I think I knew you were going to say it. Because, you know, her role to me is like, I'm like, what do you do? Sounds amazing. I would love to, hear more about her role within Framestore. And also Ridma Suryagoda, I think. Well, he works between Groom and Creatures, I think. But he worked on Guardians of the Galaxy. I think he would be a very interesting person to speak to also.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, well, they are officially on the hit list now, and I do have a hit list, so they will go on there. So, Darren, you were going to mention Rowena?
Yes, I was going to say Romina, but I guess I had three people, okay, actually, just in case. Up. So since Romina's taken, I thought Simon Lowry from our team would be someone who'd be really interesting to speak to, and also Ilya Pilastros. He's our scrum master, and I think he's really funny. He's really smart, and I think you'd have a really interesting conversation with him. He's quite new to Framestore, but he has a load of experience, and he's been really fun to work with since joining our team. So I think he would be a good candidate.
Brilliant. Good, strong backups there, Darren. Thank you. And again, yeah, wow, I've got four names. Brilliant. I normally only get two. So this is excellent, excellent work. Thank you. Okay, so my final two questions. You can take a sigh of relief now. The podcast is almost over. I'm not going to throw you any more curveballs as I've been doing throughout the episode. But I'm going to bring it up to an almost close with the question that I ask everyone. And it's the reason why people do listen to the podcast. It's very important, which is, if you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be? I'm going to start with Sophie first. Sophie, come on. What's the one? No hacks, no cheats. All right. We had somebody on. I can't remember who said sandwiches on the pod. You can't say sandwiches. Or you can't say stew. It's got to be a specific thing. So there you go. What's it going to be, Sophie?
Well, oh, don't shout at me. Well, mine is a specific thing. It's dumplings, but in any form. So it could be dumplings on their own or in a soup with noodles. They're my favorite food. I love them. I actually had some for lunch. I made them myself.
Serious commitment to the dumplings.
That would be the thing that I, you know, like your last meal, I'd be like, give me a plate of dumplings.
Just a bowl of dumplings.
Love.
Wow. Because dumplings take many forms, don't they, right?
Exactly.
You can go for the traditional suet kind of...
versatile.
Yeah. Okay, dumplings. Okay, that's a nice, very specific dish. I think you're allowed to have that, Sophie. It's not quite a hack, but we'll take it. What about you, Darren? What is your go-to? What could you live off for the rest of your days?
I was going to say something spicy.
Okay.
Anything spicy.
You can't say anything spicy.
Anything spicy. Okay, some kind of stir-fried spicy noodles.
If you were in a restaurant, what would be the some kind of spicy noodle dish you'd go for?
But there's so many.
What was the last really good spicy noodle dish that you had?
Pad thai. It was amazing.
Let's go. And where?
Okay, I'll go with pad thai.
So we've got Sophie's homemade dumplings, Sophie. Or would I mean there's high praise for your homemade dumplings?
Yeah, they were pork, prawn, and chive.
God, that sounds delicious. I love that.
Yeah, they were yum.
And Darren,
I think you should share.
I know. You should bring some in.
I should.
And pad thai, Darren, where would you go for your pad thai? Or would you cook it yourself?
Probably cook it myself. I think I would prefer to do that.
I'm impressed. It's all about the home cooked food. I love it. Wow, nice work there. I've got pad thai and dumplings. Go well together, wouldn't they? Very complimentary, much like this podcast. Amazing. Right, my final question. I'm going to drop it, and it's the music you listen to while you work. Now, I get that not everybody listens to music while they work. It's something that's stuck since episode one of the podcast. So when you're doing your deep work and you're lost and you put your tunes on, can you give me one track by one artist that I can put on the Framestore Daily Spotify playlist?
I listen to a bit of everything, to be fair, while I work. I'm sure the people beside me, I mean, I know Darren's walked in on me listening to random stuff before, but if I was to give a track, I've really been into, at the minute, a band called Fever Ray. They're a band from Sweden. It's like electronic music.
Oh, cool.
I actually, on Saturday, went to see them on my own. It was my first gig on my own.
Ah, great.
So that was an experience. It was fun. But the track would be, there's one called Shiver. You can add that to your list.
I will add it.
Shiver by Fever Ray.
Shiver by Fever Ray. That is on the playlist for when we drop this episode, for sure. Thank you, Sophie. What about you, Darren? What have you got for us?
I'm really boring. I can't listen to music.
No.
No.
Oh, what's an
I get
artist?
Too distracted.
What could we have? Even if, you know, hypothetically, what would be a track that you would listen to, whether you're working or not, that we can put on the playlist?
Okay. I feel like this is the hardest question you've asked.
I know. It's a big finish.
Okay, I have something for you now. I think there's a band called Jungle that I really like.
Oh, yeah. just picked up a Brit Award, haven't they?
Yeah, I think they're really good. And I think one song by them is Romeo. I think that's a good choice.
Okay, well, they will both be tracks 1 and 2 on the Spotify. I need to come up with a new name for the playlist. If anybody can come up with it, I just call it the Framestore Daily Spotify Playlist, which is a bit of a mouthful. That's the end of the podcast. So what I wanted to say is to say thank you both for giving me almost 2 hours of your time. It's always appreciated. I know how busy everybody is, and it is always a personal privilege for me to have this uninterrupted time with anyone who works in super interesting roles at Framestore, which is pretty much everybody I've spoken to on the podcast so far. So just a genuine thank you from me. Is there anything that you want to leave people with before we let you go? Is there anything you want to shout out? Is there anything you want to push? Or just want to say thank you and good night?
I guess just thanks for having us, Simon. I did enjoy it, even though I was quite nervous.
Yeah, well, you didn't come across as nervous. It was a joy. The pleasure was all mine, for sure.
You're a very good host.
Oh, you're very welcome. Well, you know what? I'll always ask people after the podcast is recorded, did I do all right? Because honestly, like I say, it's a real privilege to do this, but I also worry that I'm not teasing out enough sometimes, because you've only got this short chunk of time to ask all the questions and hopefully give the listeners what they want. But I think we got through a lot in that conversation, so I'm super happy with how that went. And Sophie didn't come across as nervous or whatsoever. Darren, anything you want to leave our audience with?
Nothing specific. I think it was a good experience, and I'm glad that, again, with all the pushing that I did, take the opportunity and I did say yes to doing this, because it's definitely outside of my comfort zone, and I probably won't listen to this episode because I hate hearing the sound of my voice.
Well, I do. Me too, but I have to listen to these through for quality control every time. nothing worse than hearing my own voice rattling around in my headphones for God knows how many hours, but I've kind of got used to it now. But you're very
it's
welcome.
Been really fun.
Excellent.
Thank you again, as Sophie said.
And thank you for spending this time with me. I've really enjoyed it. I learn a lot on these episodes, and you both were brilliant to spend time with. So thank you very much for agreeing to do the podcast, Darren and Sophie. Enjoy the rest of your day, evening, and see you later. See you around.
See you.
Thank you.
Bye.
And that concludes this week's episode. A massive thank you to Darren and Sophie for such an interesting discussion and insight into their roles in the Labs team. As always, a big shout out to Sam Sosnowski from the Global Training team for their excellent editing job once again. In just 2 weeks' time, we return with another inspiring conversation from our Global Framestore community. Until then, take care and thanks for listening.